Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation.
No choice. Nature can deal with kinetic energy one way or another, but it cannot finagle momentum. So it must give...
That's right. Anyway, I'm thinking of a couple different things. It's almost time to try this Deadpool thing again. You know, who's... You know, it's not a real contest, or anything like that, but I haven't started it yet. And, I think you should be rewarded if you could take 100 different names and put them in the right order, deciding which way they will fall. In terms of accepting the real truth, energy, it's about pressure being imposed. You're imposing on something, and you impose on it amount of time, with an amount of force. You push, and you push consistently, or you don't, or you stop. And so there's amount of time that you push on something. Physics says when I hold this up, I'm not doing any work. Now, we all know you have to do work to hold something up, unless you put it on something, and then you know if you put it on top of something that the something is doing work, because the pieces have to keep rigid. And you know that you could put enough weight on where you'd crush whatever's below it. So it's obviously doing work. So this whole notion that work is about moving distances, is not complete. Yeah, it's not a very good story. It's not really saying what happens in reality. And so I can illustrate that all again. But I mean, it's a simple question, right? Do you believe in free energy? Do you believe that something can be in a certain state, that I can put it through some magic circumstance where I don't add any energy, and it comes out in a state where it has more energy? Do you believe in free momentum? I can do an experiment and I can actually make something that has a certain momentum, that is, it's an ability to apply a pressure, and then it comes out and it's able to apply more pressure. It weighs more. And I don't have to give it any mass, okay? I don't have to give it any capacity to produce that extra momentum. It just happens for free. This, frankly, the kinetic energy formula says that. Now, I haven't gotten any responses, and, any coherent response to any of these questions. So you ask the question, and none of the players here, none of the trolls, Farley or Bro or Gosling or whatever the other lunatics are, have responded to any of the points made or the specific questions asked. Do they really think the spaceship will turn? I shoot a dime going 1,000 miles out one side. I shoot 2 liters going 1 mile an hour out the other side of water. Which way do they think that the spaceship moves? Do they really think the dime has 1,000 times more energy? That the universe says, whoa, big pile of energy coming my way. And the other side says, nothing. No, nothing to see here. Yeah. Do you believe this? There's just no response. So anyway, there is a list of names on the website, of the people I've offered thousands of dollars to answer these simple questions, and they won't do it. Yes, that would be part of the Deadpool. The science presenters on this medium, video presentation, how long will it take for them to concede, they made a mistake 400 years ago, 300 and whatever years ago, and really, thumb their nose at Newtonian physics to believe in kind of a mushy idea that somehow you square velocity for some reason, because that's real energy, that somehow, yes, the bullet does have more energy than the gun recoil, that Newton's third law is at minimum insanely conditional, like it only works in certain places and it doesn't work over here or over there or over there, but it's a law, okay? Anyway, So if you, if I'm missing some names, I wouldn't mind if somebody would, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I'd rather these people would just answer the question. I mean, they could do it in the Brozo comment section. They could do it on this message board that's available. Post comment, it says. Yeah, you can do that. At least I'll get the comment, probably, most likely. Defending this, right, so you're all just free energy nuts? I mean, we just admit that that's what you're really saying, that yes, you believe in free energy and you believe it isn't work to do this, to hold something up against gravity. I'm not doing any work. I'm not burning any calories. It's not really, there's no forces involved. I don't have to produce any energy because I'm not countering anything real. There's no distance involved, because there's no distance involved, there's no forces involved. It doesn't make any sense on its face. This is just dismal. So anyway, in the context of this dismal, and it's mostly just about the fact that there's just nobody watching these videos. So Franklin has made a second, another video, and he did, I don't even understand it. Perfect glamping some more. I don't even understand what that means. And then camping? I don't know. So he's putting a burnt marshmallow on top of a graham cracker without chocolate and calling that a s'more. And it's such a, this is such a cotton candy pink balloon cliche thing, where these things aren't all that good anyway. The whole s'more thing. You really don't want s'more because it's sticky, messy, sloppy. I mean, you're just so much better off with a bag of potato chips. I mean, it's just such lame pop culture bullshit. I would argue, Franklin's kind of a pop culture kind of person. He does all the usual human behaviors, with enthusiasm. Cliche, red Corvette, Anyway, it's sort of a disappointment, yes, you basically conceded that science has made this gigantic mistake that, more than half of physics, frankly, is nonsense. I mean, the weight of an electron, the weight of the proton, all this stuff where they say quantum mechanics is the most proven theory in the history of mankind, all that stuff is based on this squared velocity somehow being relevant. So all of it is garbage, if it's true. Garbage in the sense it's not very useful in accurately describing reality. It's just circular. They make fake energy going in, fake energy going out. Nothing to see there, in a sense. This Ian Gosling comment just seemed so... it's like, okay, you're not really paying any attention at all, right? So you've been hanging around for 2 years in this conversation. You really haven't made a coherent response to anything I've said, in the sense you haven't explained how it makes any sense to have levers, and say they make free energy, and that's what it seems every bit of evidence indicates they do. Or deal with any of the real arguments. So he says, how unfazed you seem after debunking a fundamental law of modern physics. So at least he's, whatever that means, modern, Leibniz. So that's 1676 is modern physics. Okay, all right, well, whatever. Overrunning many centuries of progress. So this again with this implication, we wouldn't have invented the stagecoach without quantum mechanics. No, I think that all this progress stuff doesn't have anything... I mean, you're really not going to be able to show me anywhere where they did any progress based on 1/2 mv². Where it was essential to anything real. Right? If you want to say it's essential to understanding black holes or something, well then okay. But anything real, okay, where was that essential? Show me. Show me the place where, wow, if you didn't believe in 1/2 mv², you wouldn't have invented the steam engine or something. Show me. All right. Laying to waste those giants, so I don't know, Leibniz, the guy who believed in solitons and monads, who actually for a big part of his life thought you could have a giant boulder and you could throw a pea at it and at 50 miles an hour, and the giant boulder and the pea would fly away at 50 miles an hour. Okay, a giant. He had a giant wig. Okay, anyway, and those who merely stood on their shoulders. It'd be nice if you named some names here. You know, go ahead and be like Unsucker and out yourself, okay? show what who you are and what you believe in. Who are your icons of the brilliant science? Feynman, who basically says, yes, God plays dice with the universe. That's his brilliant contribution. Shut up and calculate. Is that brilliant? Is that giantness? Or is it Bohr, you know, who believed completely in woo space? You know, it's all wooey. We can't understand it. We can't see it. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, who are your giants in this game? And who are the less than giants who are just standing on shoulders? Be nice if, yes, you actually, you know, pointed out, what is it? Where are you coming from? What are you defending exactly? I mean, you know, you can't see how you're really being a preposterous liar to say that, well, if you don't believe in our definition of work being something to do with how far something moves and having nothing to do with how long something might be in a force, you know, you're therefore, I don't have to make an argument. I can just assume this is the truth. I don't have to prove it with any evidence. I don't have to link you to any evidence. What's your brilliant explanation? So I showed the Mythbusters experiment. So what are you hanging on? What are you saying is the truth? That cars don't crush proportionally or linearly, and that clay doesn't. And that it's just a bizarre coincidence that they happen to, you know, do their non-linearity thing exactly like you would expect if you believed in momentum. That is, it's, you know, 2-to-1. There won't, crickets, there won't be any answer. You know, there won't be any, you know, if somebody argues that things that are heavy incur more friction because they have more contact with the ground, so they're giving away more of their energy. Even the idea that, you know, things give away their energy, you don't believe that's what really happens? You think the energy is some special wooey spirit thing, and when you're incurring friction, you're not just contacting something else, like a bowling ball hitting a pin. You're just hitting something, giving it energy, and you have less when you're done. So you actually don't think that happens. The bowling ball's rolling into a pin, and you think it doesn't just give what it has, motion, to the pin, and then it has less of the motion because it gave some to the pin. You don't think that's exactly what happens. You think something else happens. There's some other energy in the bowling ball, some other magical stuff that can make more pins fly away than the momentum of the ball. Shit. So anyway, so yeah, so the real problem is there's nobody in this conversation, and nobody who is in the conversation has any integrity or any accountability. They're just cowards. I mean, pathetic cowards. They won't counter any of the arguments made in this video or any of the previous videos. They might go back 5 years and find some statement I made that was sloppy and incomplete. But beyond that, they will not respond to any of the videos I wish them to respond to, you know, where I overtly ask them to answer the questions. And they won't answer the questions. Yeah. So, you know, that's the state of things. So it is quite disappointing. And yes, in a sense, this is pathetic. Okay, this is how bad, okay, humans communicate with each other. That you really can't, you can't challenge their gods. They won't allow it. And, you know, it just might take decades just to force them to recognize that, well, they have a kind of not very sensible, not very logical, and certainly not very evidenced belief. And that that should be challenged. They should be obliged to shore that up with some reasoning and evidence and logic that actually makes some kind of sense. Okay. All right. So we'll do as we have done before. And we'll point out first. Okay, so this is, there's experiments that do this basic thing. Okay, you take something with a certain amount of MV, you know, you convert it through a process X, and then you have something that comes out that has a different MV. Okay, now the idea can be big mass, little velocity, big velocity, little masses. You know, you can do it both ways. You can convert between these things. I would argue that that's clearly what takes place. And so the paradox of having some formula that says 1/2, okay, mv squared, is that any time I convert something with a, you know, a big mass into a something with a small mass and a higher velocity, that I'll increase its energy. So there's a ton of experiments I can do where I'm going to make free energy because of this formula. It's unavoidable. So if you believe in conversion, that is momentum conversions like levers, if you believe they can actually convert from, you know, one kind of mass to velocity ratio into another, you know, this would be the small m, big V, you know, that I can make a, you know, two mass here, one mass here, and that I can do the conversions. I can take the energy from one and convert into the other, and I'm basically doing the Newton's cradle thing, except this will work. You know, at these specific locations, I'll create a perfect, I'll convert them into an interaction that causes this to do exactly what it would do if there was a two mass here. And that's what happens with a Newton's cradle, right? Newton's cradle fails to be able to deal with things of a different size because it can't do the conversion. It can't match this one's deceleration to this one's acceleration. The two won't match. But the lever allows the deceleration here to match the twice as fast acceleration here, where it can't be done here, right? So no matter which way I go from large to small, or I go from small to back to large again, the Newton's cradle can't handle it. Where, if, okay, I do this, use a converter, it can handle it because I basically made the two objects the same weight, the same mass in a sense, by creating this mechanism to equalize. And so, yes, this one will move twice the speed as this one, and it will do a perfect conversion at these perfect locations. And so, you know, they're basically saying that's not how it works. It works some other way, okay? And that, you know, the trick is that with a lever, I can create a Newton's cradle that actually keeps working, you know, where all the energy from this object can go into this object, or all the energy from this object can go into that object. I can get all the energy to be transferred as if they were the same mass. So just like this one will hit this one, and you'll get a perfect transfer. All the mass from this one will go into this object, and this one will have no energy. And I can do that with a lever, where I can take all of the energy from one object and put it into a smaller object or put it into a larger object, as long as I put them in the right places. Now that's a simple explanation of a lever. Will they counter-argue it? Will they show how it works some other way? Will they draw the picture of how it works another way? Will they make the connection to Newton's cradle and energy transfers and explain how, no, there's really a whole secret amount of kinetic energy here. There's some other kind of stuff happening besides a mass moving. Somehow energy has something other to do with just a mass and a velocity, and that this squared thing is just bizarre. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense at all. Why would you do that? Why would you pretend, okay, that there's something other than a number of atoms, and that you can have six atoms, you know, moving 5 miles an hour, or you could have three atoms, you know, moving 10 miles an hour. And that's the same thing. It's just how much mass, how many bits, and how much energy do they have, and that's all there is. So the gun barrel has 1,000 atoms, you could say, and the bullet has one, and so you can understand, yes, the bullet goes 1,000 times faster because it's got 1,000 times less hands pushing. It's just how many hands you have pushing on something and how much pressure they're applying. There's some other physical reality in this universe. There's some other reason. There's a good reason to believe there's something else happening. There's some sort of, these are magical little atoms because they're smaller and moving faster, or fewer and moving faster. Somehow, because there's fewer atoms and I have them moving faster, somehow this has twice as much energy. So this has twice as much energy for some magical reason. But because I squared something. Because a guy who believed in solitons and monads put a square on there. Or because we have a gravitational theory that points out that, yes, as you're free falling, okay, you do actually fall an amount of time. And I can go, yes, you go 9.8 meters of extra acceleration every second. You add 9.8 meters of extra acceleration every second. You're really only adding 4.8 or whatever, 4.9 meters of real distance, but whatever. And so because it can happen, it can happen every second, I should write that. I should write the idea that it falls, and it can fall 1 second, or it can fall 2 seconds, or it can fall 3 seconds. Because it has a variable length to how many seconds it falls, I should write it as seconds squared. Even though nothing's squared here, there's no reason to square anything. There's no number I'm going to square. Why would I do that? Why would I say seconds squared when it could be 4 seconds, it could be 10 seconds, it could be 100 seconds? Why would I write seconds squared? So this is legitimate. It's legitimate to write seconds squared when you're saying per second per any number of seconds. That means I should write it as seconds squared. That makes sense to you. Making sense to me. All right, so I'll erase and make the simple, where all this starts, okay, with the gravity argument. All right, should be back. All right, gravity. So, I don't know. Yeah, okay, so it remained a mystery, right? So even though Newton could tell you about the inverse square law, and I would argue the inverse square law is really the same law governing how photons leave the sun, okay? That is, they're spreading, okay? As they leave the sun, they're spreading in two dimensions, okay? So that's the inverse square law. They're spreading this way, getting further and further away from each other, and they're spreading in this other dimension. So that's the square. Both dimensions, okay, that they're separating with distance. So like a spray can, the spray gets weaker and weaker and weaker in terms of its density on a surface, the further and further you go. And so gravity is doing exactly the same thing in reverse, okay? So that is the, well, it's really the same thing if you think about it in terms of the sun pushing, or the Earth pushing something away. Its capacity to push something away is getting weaker and weaker as you get closer and closer. But regardless of how you try to imagine the inverse effect, it's not particles shooting out, it's the absence of stuff, you know. And that the simple argument is that the universe is providing the external pressure. That's why everything is in a sphere in the first place. That's why matter is sticking to other matters, because the universe is pushing it, okay, and that all you can do is create an absence of that push. Now, that could be it. That was a theory, okay, back in Newton's time. And it was rejected because of, you know, arguments about, you know, what the consequence of having energy in the universe means. There would be drag, and we didn't see drag, okay, not enough of it. Wasn't apparent, especially in things orbiting in space. They don't seem to have any problem crashing into this force that's supposed to be pushing them. And so that was something that didn't make sense. Well, that's just because they didn't know what atoms were, and they didn't know that electrons and protons actually are dragged to a halt. They actually are affected by this force, that this force really only does affect electrons and protons. There is no atom. There is no compound. There is no human being. There's just little bits. You are just those little electrons and protons. And they're tied to each other based on this pressure differential. Well, obviously, okay, 350 years ago, they couldn't know any of that crap. All right, so they didn't really have a theory for this idea that there is this idea that you're attracted to the Earth. Okay, now I would argue you're just pushed into it. You're not really attracted. That all the push universe theory seems pretty solid. So that's another thing I'd like these opiners, these opposition opiners, to explain this pull idea. You know, just they just magically pull towards each other. That it would, is kind of a, it's a lot easier to defend, let's just say, okay, the idea of pushing as a being a way of transferring energy than pulling. But anyway, so this whole gravity thing happens, okay, and they don't have a great explanation, but they do make some observations about how things fall in gravity. And, you know, so the Galileo did the experiments and noticed that there's this 1, 3, 5 relationship. Okay, that's can't go that low. So 1, 3 is the important part anyway. That's the only part you really have to understand, is that for this these same units of time, okay, you're going to acquire the same amount of stuff, gravity, acceleration. And so this distance is very short, this distance is very long, but the two add up to the same thing. And so even though you're falling, okay, 4 units of distance, right? There's 4 units here. So I should have drawn this a little better. You know, that these 3 units, okay, will be the same as the 1. Okay, so 1 unit and the 3 units, same thing happens in a sense. Well, that's off the board altogether. Now, I should try a little harder, really, to keep things in the picture. Anyway, the frame. Alright, you can sort of understand, okay, so now somebody like Franklin comes along and says, well, if I have to lift something in gravity, okay, so here I'm going to lift something in gravity, and here's little height measurements. That, you know, if I lift it this amount, and then I lift it this amount, and then I lift it this amount, and then I lift it this amount, that's going to be actual work, okay? These are, each one of these things is going to count as having to lift it up against gravity. But the key is this will take me 4 times as long as if I just drop the object. So if I just drop it, okay, it only takes 2 units of time. This will take 4 units of time. And that's a huge difference. So you're fighting gravity 4 times here. You're only fighting it twice here, so to speak. It's an easy way to understand it. And clearly, the fact that this has 2 velocity, okay, even though it's 4 units of distance, you only get 2 velocity out of it. So if you're gaining 1 velocity for dropping this 1 distance, why wouldn't you think that if you're going to count the, each bit of distance as being important, like distance matters, well, here, why don't I collect 1 here and 1 here and 1 here and have 4 units of velocity? If I, you know, if this is a consistent force and it's always being applied at a constant rate, why wouldn't I get 1, 2, 3, 4 units of velocity? 4 units of acceleration. Because we know the outcome is I only have 2 units of acceleration. I only have 2 velocity. So that's all I got out of it, is 2. I didn't get 4. So you can understand there's a trick here. You know, the fact is that, you know, if I want to take 4 times the energy to lift something, I do it like this. If I want to take half the energy, I shoot it at the same velocity it would land with, okay, with the 2 velocity, and I'll end up at the same location, and I'll do it in half the time with half the amount of energy. So yeah, I can do it the really slow way. I could do it in 8 steps. I could raise the object really, really slowly, and you could understand that I'm going to be doing a lot more work because the pressure and the weight of the object is going to be through that whole process. I'm going to be lifting it. So the slower I lift something, if there's a heavy weight and I lift it really, 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 really slowly, you can understand I could be using hundreds, thousands of calories. But if I lift it quickly, yeah, 10 calories, you know, almost nothing. You know, so that tricked, that fooled science. It's a simple truth. And so they started to be, they were willing to believe because of this four thing, okay, in spite of the two velocity and in spite of the two time that Galileo pointed out, they still fell back on some notion that this is about four, when no, it's about two, okay. And so that's why Leibniz said mv squared, is because he was trying to make the velocity equal what the real units of distance were. And it didn't matter. You can't change the fact that it doesn't have more energy. It just has twice the velocity. When something lands with twice the velocity, it just makes twice the hole in the ground. It just does twice the work. It doesn't have some magical more energy. Twice the velocity is not four times the energy. It's only twice the energy. So, and again, the crashing cars will show you that. Crashing clay will show you that. Now, you can do some clay experiments, you know, in a special circumstance, and you can try to create the illusion of this four times the dent it makes. But that can be understood if you know physics, that the shape of an object, if I make a, put an arrowhead on an arrow, it does something quite different than if I don't have a point on the arrow. And that there's a principle involved in terms of how the arrow is going to displace material. And that it does it all in that direction. It doesn't push anything down, it pushes everything sideways. Where if I just had a blunt, flat surface on the arrow, it would obviously have to push everything down. And if I'm pushing down, then it's eventually going to have to go this way if it's an uncompressible medium, just like a water wave. When you have the pressure going this way, and it's an uncompressible medium, the pressure here builds up, so the water can't go that way, and it has to go up this way against gravity, and it stores some energy in a lump, and then the lump pushes back down again, tries to go this way, doesn't work, goes back up to a lump again. That's what's really traveling, is that you're really just converting the energy, you're pushing it up into gravity, storing it, waiting for there to be enough low pressure for it to come back down again. It comes back down again, but it still can't quite make it going forward because there's pressure pushing, more pressure pushing this way and pressure pushing this way, but this has a back pressure because it's uncompressible, so it goes up again. Come on. It's just so hard to imagine that you are so confident, you people, and so sure that your little strange notion, okay, that twice the velocity means four times the energy, when you just don't have, do you really have any personal experience to justify that? Now, I can point out examples, like I said, I can point out how, oh, the karate guy will tell you, you know, if I go a little faster, okay, with a little point to your hand, I can break a piece of wood. Yeah, certain things will react to velocity, and sort of some things will react to, you know, a constant slow pressure. Some things react to slow pressure, some things react to high pressure. And the materials break or fracture or crack or do something else. And, yeah, so, but that can be understood. That, you know, you can't make a comparison, say everything's glass, you know, and everything, there's no energy until the glass breaks. Well, that would be stupid to think so. You know, really stupid. Anyway. All right, let's see. Do I really? Well, I'll think about it and see if there's anything else to say. But I, you know, frankly, there's no counter argument. There's nobody dealing with any of these arguments. They're not pointing out how it's not free energy. Somehow, free momentum isn't free energy. Well, explain to me how it's anything else. Explain to me how I can't capitalize on free momentum. If something's getting heavier and heavier and heavier, well, I can do work with weights. Weights have value in terms of doing work, because I can always drop them off a cliff and do work with them. So the more weight I'm giving something, clearly the more energy it has. And you can sort of understand that if you just convert the weight from going down to going sideways. If I have weight going in a horizontal direction, you understand that if I have more weight pushing on something, I've got to have more energy. There's no doubt about it. More weight means more energy. So if I make more momentum, I'm making more weight, I'm making more pressure, I'm making energy. I'm giving something the potential to do work. To push something a distance. Again, the work equation is just a derivation of this mv squared crap. So It's not force times distance, it's force times time. How long a force is being applied will decide how much energy you're going to be affected by. That simple statement, do they have a counter argument that that's not a better truth than this silly distance crap? Alright, so I guess another version of the lever argument. Another way of stating it anyway. So it's a direct question, right? Now, if I could actually show this experiment done in numerous ways. Okay, now the Brozo's already done the experiment, frankly. And I'll put this in the center here. Just to understand, the lever's got equal amount of lever on both sides. There's a spring attached over here. And you have two positions you can put objects on. Okay, one distance and two distances. All right, and the simple argument is I'm going to use the same force. Okay, so the force for both experiments is going to be the same. I'm going to put a two mass here, and I'm going to put a, then later I'm going to put a one mass out here. And I'm just going to do the same exact compression of the spring and have the objects launched by the force provided by the spring. And if it's overwhelmingly proven by doing this experiment different ways and doing it in whatever, and you come up with this idea that this travels one velocity, okay, so whatever the velocity of this is, this will be twice that velocity, okay, pretty close to perfect, like the Mythbusters thing. It'll come out really, really close to just exactly 2-to-1 relationship. If you get this distance precise and this distance precise, these precise, this is what it's always going to come out. Now, the simple argument is I use the same force, okay, and I get twice as much energy here. 2x the amount of energy here as I have here. Now, the whole thing of the idea that this is somehow destroying energy, and that's this one somehow doesn't get the energy, and that's why this one has twice as much. You can defeat that by just pointing out, let's just get rid of the spring, okay, and we'll just put a two mass object here and let it fall a distance. And what we're going to get is 95% of that energy back here, okay? And it's going to have exactly the same velocity that this landed with, this will leave with. And you'll conserve the momentum, you'll conserve the energy. And the fact is, this will do the same thing, which is it'll go twice as fast. I'll drop a two mass here at a certain V. This velocity will be twice that velocity because, frankly, as I've pointed out, the lever can't tell the difference. The lever can't tell the difference. This thing will decelerate at exactly the same rate, the same amount of time in terms of giving away its energy, slowing down, slowing down, slowing down, slowing down. And this will speed up with the two mass at exactly the same rate, okay, that this one is slowing down. This one will accelerate, okay, meaning their velocities will end up matching. And the fact is that when I put this out here instead, you know, remove this one and put the one mass out here, I'm doing exactly what I need to do. I'm converting the slow deceleration of this into the fast acceleration of this. I'm doubling the rate of acceleration. So for every millimeter this travels, this one will travel 2 millimeters because it needs to have twice the velocity, and it will in fact leave with twice the velocity. Now if I do this experiment 500 different ways and 500 times and it always comes out the same way and you always get the same fucking answer, will you concede? Or does there, or do you need something else? Are you going, what other explanation do you come up with? MV squared doesn't work. It won't get the right answers. It won't predict this outcome will be wrong. There will not be twice the energy. There will be the same momentum. There won't be twice the energy in this object. It will not be able to do the same thing to the two mass and all that kind of crap. It'll just be able to get the same energy out, the same momentum. There'll never be a squared function. So yes, I can convert a 10-ton, if I can convert a 10-ton train, okay, going 5 miles an hour, and I can do an experiment where I directly convert that into
a 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour, will you concede, okay, that your theory is wrong, that 1/2 mv² is wrong? Because that's just saying I can do an experiment where I put no energy in, okay, I add no energy to the system at all. You'd have to concede that's free energy. I just made free energy. This has twice the energy. I didn't put anything in. I just did some conversion, some lever thing. All right, and I get twice the energy out. Well, you can see your predictive theory is making wrong predictions and is invalid. Or is this about something else? Because it seems to me it's about something else, right? This is your religion. This isn't about physics or science or deduction or logic or facts. It's just about your faith. Okay, and what? Faith in what? Faith in Feynman? Faith in who? Faith in what? Bohr? You know, Einstein? Is that all this is about? You have a hero and you have faith in what they say? Leibniz? You have faith in Leibniz? I mean, you know, just to point out, I mean, Madame de Chartelet believed in free will. I mean, you do understand she was a little bit loopy. Okay? She was a little silly. So you probably believe in that too. Anyway, so I don't know. There won't be a counter argument. There won't be an answer to my simple questions. Is that enough proof for you? How much proof do you need? What experiment do I have to do to convince you that making free energy, okay, first off, is impossible, and second, that if I, you know, if your theory says it has it, but there's no evidence that it has it, that is, there's no place where you actually use this extra free energy you're making. And obviously, I could explain how it's a perpetual motion machine, that I could just make a perpetual motion machine if your theory was correct. Why don't you explain how that's not possible? I mean, Brozo keeps saying he's made free energy. He's made this free momentum stuff, but he hasn't explained how I couldn't capitalize on it and make more and more and more free energy and just create a perpetual motion machine. I mean, aren't you obligated to explain how, if you're going to say something exists, free energy, explain why I can't capitalize on it? Why I can't use simple conversion devices to, you know, make it circular and perpetual. And more than perpetual, perpetual plus. I mean, it's already ludicrous enough to think that you can, you know, create a system where you don't lose enough, you don't lose more energy. That you don't lose energy without putting more energy in, that it can somehow sustain the energy. It's hard enough to create a system where the energy is maintained or sustained. You know, we don't have some magic box where photons go in and photon never comes out. It's really hard to make perpetual motion. And you're saying I can make perpetual motion plus. I can get free energy out of it, more energy out of it. Come on. So this really, I mean, you really think when something is encountering friction, no matter whether it's air molecules or it's the ground or it's any kind of friction, you really don't understand that this has the energy, the thing moving, and it doesn't matter whether the ground's moving, as, you know, as sort of as Franklin demonstrates on the treadmill. You can have a treadmill moving, or you can have an object moving across the surface. And in some ways, they're going to be quite equivalent. I don't want to say for certain they're quite equivalent, but, you know, they're semi-equivalent. You could argue that it makes a difference which object is doing the pushing into the other object. But anyway, the contact isn't just exchanging. It's just this one saying, look, I'm +5 of something. And this surface is saying, well, I'm -6, you could argue. You know, who cares about the relative difference? And all you're saying is they're just going to share what they are while they're in contact, and eventually they're going to end up with the same number. This is going to be whatever, -4, okay? This will be -4, you know, depending on their density of the ground and its capacity to absorb, blah, blah, blah. But they're just going to equalize. And in the case of, you know, a little object encountering the giant sink that is the Earth, you can understand that, yes, what it's going to be is 0. This will start off with 5, and it'll just give it all away to a ground that can absorb as much as you got to give. and it'll just take all of your difference and take you back to zero. But you're just losing your energy. Something has energy, something is moving, something's not moving. They have two relatively different conditions. If they contact each other, they're going to attempt. What's going to start happening is they're going to start sharing their state. And the longer they're in contact, the more of that state they'll share. And the shorter they're in contact, well, maybe they won't do a complete exchange. And they'll only exchange part of their difference. It just surprises me that people are this belligerently resistant to facts, logic, just where they point, that they just really don't care about being logical. They don't care about being accountable and fair and just very disappointing. I just didn't think science type people were this corrupt and lacked all integrity. Just didn't think so. I thought integrity came with intelligence. That was my bad. I think intelligence is what gave me integrity. I didn't have any until I thought about a few things and thought about how relationships work between people and all of that kind of stuff and thought about how I want to be treated. And I wouldn't want to be lied to and deceived, and I wouldn't want to play games to win. I don't want to cheat to win. Ew, it's disgusting. But apparently other people haven't learned that life lesson. And they will continue to evade the simple arguments to prop up a silly, stupid, lazy, sloppy, unevidenced religion. Yuck. Yeah, that's just dismal. Alright, so this has been a DraftPhysics.com video presentation. Unfortunately, to the wind, trolls, rocks, dirt, it's no point in arguing with your own echo, but there's no point in not arguing, so I will continue to argue, endeavor to persevere and such.